Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read one verse from Galatians chapter 5. And we want this verse to be something that we think about as God's people in the context that we hope to present it today. Our subject is altered states, because what this verse does is it tells us about something that alters the state of a wad of dough or a can full of meal or flour. The verse says, Galatians 5 and 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, cooks and bakers know all about this. They understand, if they understand what leaven is, and for those of you who don't use the word leaven, you might use the word yeast. A little yeast yeasts up the whole lump of flour or meal, or in our case nowadays, in the dough that we put it in to get a rising for our dough when we're going to cook some bread. You put a little yeast in a batch of dough and leave it for a while, and it'll make the entire batch to rise. It affects the whole mixture. Even if you just put it in one corner of some dough, you don't have to stir it in. Now, you get a quicker rising if you do, and most of us do that make bread. But you can just put it in a little part of the dough, and if you leave it in there long enough, set off on the side somewhere with a little bit of warmth, it'll permeate the entire ball of dough, and the result will be that the whole ball of dough will rise. So that's the way yeast operates. It just produces gases in there and gets that fluffy texture for dough that we like to have when we're going to make some homemade bread. So the main thing that our verse teaches us, and what we know is true about yeast, is that it just literally goes throughout the whole container of yeast or flour and makes a rising when it does. Now, what we really want you to notice about the work of leaven or yeast in a can of meal or flour or a ball of dough is that it acts in a kind of cryptic manner. That is, it's almost secretive the way it does it. It's all stirred in there and mixed up, but invariably, when it's mixed in there, it does its work without you being able to see what's going on there. It just goes through the dough and gets that rising done, has an effect over the entire part that you've put it in, and it takes only a very small amount compared to what you put it in to get the rising done. And in fact, something maybe you housewives don't know about making homemade bread that I happen to know as a biologist, you could stick one bud of this bread yeast in there, and if you leave it alone, warmth and in the dark a little bit for a while, it will by itself raise that whole ball of dough, because it only takes one to get started. They reproduce out of themselves, make a bud, and that bud makes two buds and another bud, and so on, bud and bud and bud, and pretty soon you got a big old conglomeration of yeast that'll fluff up the whole ball of dough. That's the thing I want us to notice this morning, because that's the part of this portion of Scripture that the Apostle Paul used more than once in his letters with great effect. And I want to look at some things that we can compare this to and think about in the way of the spiritual realm, and realize that what the apostle teaches us here is a thing that we need to apply concerning the spirit world and our behavior and about everything that has to do with life. And the first thing I want us to think about when we think about a little yeast swelling up the whole ball of dough, I want us to think of the fact that sin in the soul of a lost sinner will permeate the entire being of that sinner, and it will amplify, it will swell up in every aspect of his life. Sin, when it gets into the life of a human being, just one sin, will magnify to create more sins, which then will in turn create more sins, which will in turn build in size until the entire being of the creature is permeated with sin. That's the way sin operates. That's the way the devil wants it to operate. And certainly, the depravity of man helps that along. Because we, being depraved or crooked or perverse, if you will, in our own nature, we tend to help sin do this thing when it gets into us. And so the lost soul, the lost sinner, has this effect, or that is, sin has this effect upon the sinner. Now the sad truth then is that sin-ridden condition of a lost person is such that it begets more sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I think when we look at the Bible and think about things that relate to this, I think one of the best analogies to draw, one of the best illustrations out of the Bible to show how this works is to go back to the Genesis creation account and read there, and read in verse 11 of chapter 1 that God declared, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit." And listen to this phrase, "after His kind." That is, according as He is, He will reproduce. If it's a fruit tree, it'll yield fruit trees. If it's a grass, it'll yield grass. If it's a herb, it'll yield herbs. And he goes on to say, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after His kind." Isn't that a good analogy? Sin yields fruit after its kind. And sin then begets sin. Now the condition of man as a species since the time, from the very beginning, since Adam sinned, has been one that was conducive to this production of sin once sin gets rooted in a soul. And the condition of man as a species at the time of the flood, I think, is another wonderful illustration of how sin grows on a sinner the longer that he's in the world. Remember what God said in Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth," and listen, "and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Isn't that descriptive of how sin, once it gets started in a human being, permeates the entire being? You know, you look out here today at lost people, and you might see some really great citizens out there that are good for their community and that do good things. But if you look a little deeper at lost sinners, into the souls and beings and doings of lost sinners, what you discover is they're not doing anything for God. Regardless, even if they give to charitable organizations and so forth, they're not really doing anything for God. And the reason they're not is God does not accept sinful offerings. And when we look at their lives, we find out that they can only beget one thing, and that's sin, because they don't have a nature to produce anything else. There's nothing there but the depraved nature that begets sin after sin after sin. And this is the way that it is. So the best possible reformation by human beings in their own human efforts to improve their moral character, their spiritual character, ends up like the situation explained by Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 12. We find in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 43 through 45, Jesus addresses this fact about how things happen in the souls of men who try to reform but can't. His subject is different, but the analogy is the same. Let's go over there for just a minute and look at that. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Jesus was giving us this sounds kind of like a parable, but there's nowhere in it that it says it is a parable. What He's really giving us is an account of the business of an unclean spirit. Now listen, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. You know, sometimes human beings, lost and undone, turn over a new leaf. And when they do, they make a big effort to stop practicing a lot of things that they really look down on and don't think they should be doing. They get right in the way of conduct, if you will. But it's just turning over a new leaf. And that can be represented by this verse here. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man. Because when human beings turn a leaf over, turn over a new leaf in any way and begin to do some things that are upright and leave off some things that were bad, they've rejected following certain wickednesses. And that's to be commended. But notice what the end product is. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So the evil spirit gone out of the man, and he wanders around, and he doesn't find what he likes. He says, I'll go back from where I came. And when he goes back, he finds out that the guy turned over a new leaf. He cleaned up his act. The place that he was is found swept and garnished, dressed up, if you will, and swept clean of some old bad habits. Wonderful reformation went on here. But listen, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. What does that say? It says reformation won't get you anywhere. It says reformation will push away certain unclean spiritual habits, but sooner or later, that swept and garnished residence of those old bad habits will attract other bad habits, because there's nothing to keep the evil spirits away. And the last state of the man will be worse than the first if all that happened was just a plain old turning over a new leaf, reformation. And why is that? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And men can't get away from the leaven of wickedness and sin by simply turning over a new leaf. Peter put it so very well. And it's a kind of a companion statement to what I just read you that Jesus said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Listen how Peter so concisely sums up the condition of those who turn over a new leaf only to discover that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and there is no getting away from the effects of the leaven unless the leaven is cleaned out. The leaven of sin. The leaven of unregeneracy. Listen to Peter. But it is happening to them. He was talking about some people that played religion for a while and then rejected all the things of the Lord. It is happening to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What does that say? Somebody turned over a new leaf, didn't they? But it didn't hold up. Why didn't it? Because a little leaven at the whole lump. And lost sinners cannot get away from the fact that their entire being is permeated with sin, and it is amplified in their lives by its presence. And without something greater happening than just turning over a new leaf, starting a new life, and that kind of thing, without something more significant happening than that, they'll never get away from it. So the sad case of an unregenerate sinner then, brothers and sisters, is pitiful. They have nothing within themselves by which they could possibly hope to purge out the leaven that leavens the whole lump. Unbelief in the heart of a human being is going to infiltrate to the very soul, inner part of that being. And unbelief will become a state of heart that will not be escaped by any reformation that a human being might do, pushed by his own incentive. Men in that condition, men, women, boys, and girls in that condition need one thing only, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the soul pushes out the old leaven of sin and brings in the new leaven of the Holy Spirit of God to do something for the soul that can't be done by personal reformation. It's done by the quickening power of the Spirit when the new leaven of Jesus Christ comes into the life and soul of an individual. That new leaven muscles out any effect that might have happened as a result of the old leaven. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. The apostle gave that advice to the church at Corinth about a man who was sinning and being accepted in the church in a condition of sin. But the message holds true as an address to a lost man about what to do about the fact that he is a slave to sin. Purge out the old leaven. How? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the result is great, because the leaven, the old leaven of wickedness, is brought under dominion to the power of the Spirit of God. And a man has new leaven in his soul to go forward with. Now the second thing that we want to realize when we think about the principle taught by a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump is this. If sin and its effects in unbelievers will entirely leaven or swell up the entire creature with sin, certainly it must have, any kind of sin must have the same general effect on saved people if it is in them. If sin gets in us, sinful principles, sinful practices in the lives of believers will also amplify in their lives. If it's true for the lost sinner, it's certainly true for believers that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And some of the worst cases that you've ever seen concerning Christians is when they condoned and nurtured one sin in their lives, and it grew, and it grew, and it began to leaven the whole lump, and it wasn't long until their life was totally awash, totally wasted in sin. That's what happens to believers as well as unbelievers. Now it's a little bit different situation, but the effects are the same and the source of the problem is the same, because the same sinful practices that permeate the life of the lost sinner and result in a continued degradation, this same principle affects the saints of God and can become the thing that amplifies itself in the saint of God and results in wasting of life, wasting of energy, and loss of spiritual things that we might otherwise have. I think one of the best illustrations of how this occurs or can occur with believers is in the biblical account of the sons of Jacob in the relationship with Joseph, that youngest son. In the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us about those other brothers and their attitude toward Joseph. And Joseph came telling them visions that he'd had, dreams that he'd had. And as that went along, the Bible tells us there in Genesis 37, 4 and 5, when his brethren saw that their father loved Jacob more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now listen to this postscript on that statement about what those brothers had gotten to. They had let sin as a leaven, the sin of hatred, creep into their hearts. It had begun to grow in there. And pretty soon, they were completely leavened with it. Listen to this. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren, and they hated him the more. Boy, and that more, the more, a big deal. Think about it. They hated him the more. The hatred, the leaven of hatred started growing. One long till it grew to the point that they hated him more. Then they hated him more and more. Pretty soon, they probably couldn't hate him any more than they did. Fact is, I don't think they could have because they ended up taking him off out there and throwing him in a pit and then selling him to some passersby. What is that a good picture of? It's a good picture of how sin in our own lives can leaven our entire character. It can be the obsessive thing that takes over our thoughts, that takes over our energies, that takes over what we do and what we think, to the point that we have nothing that we do outside of that focus on that sin that's crept in and taken over. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lumps. Unchristian conduct, unchristian thinking, brothers and sisters, will leaven the attitude of believers with negative feelings and negative attitudes. That leaven of bad conduct, bad thinking, bad talking will leaven the relationships that believers have with others with mistrust and with negative interactions. Nothing gets a child of God in trouble quicker than to have a little leaven of sin creep into his life, and then that begins to color how he thinks and feels and acts, and the next thing you know, there's conflict in the best of his relationships. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The leaven of sin will leaven the testimony of believers with hypocrisy. You know, I believe that there's a reason that's connected with believers in general, Christians in general, for why these pews aren't full. And I'm going to tell you what I think that connection is. And the reason I say this is I've heard it, I don't know how many times, out knocking on doors. I believe the connection is this, that we as God's people all too often don't live the Christian life we've professed. And those who might have been provoked to think about looking into this religion thing and maybe even coming to church with you or I thought differently if they saw us acting like we weren't Christians at all. There's nothing that sells the testimony of a child of God worse than a little leaven of sin leavening the lump that we are and causing unbelievers looking on to say, if that's Christianity, count me out. And it happens. And that may be the answer to the empty pews in every New Testament church around. We don't live like we ought to live. The leaven has gotten in and it's begun to permeate the entire person that we are. We may not know it. We may not understand how it's permeating our every action, our every thought, our behavior, but it's slipping in there and it's causing destruction of our testimony. And people look at us and say, well, and I know you folks have heard this if you've ever witnessed anybody. Well, those people down there are just nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You've heard it. I've heard it. They say it. They'll say it about every New Testament church. You might say, well, they're going to say that anyway to make an excuse for themselves. Fact is, there's a little bit of fact hooked up to that, brothers and sisters. We need to acknowledge it because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We ought to live what we profess, lest our testimony be viewed as hypocrisy. Now, the third thing we want to think about a little leaven leavening the whole lump, is that unspiritual things in the makeup and interactions of a church will amplify in a church and will permeate the character of a church. When we have unspiritual things as a leaven in one of the Lord's churches, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We have to know and understand, brothers and sisters, that every one of us in this congregation are impacted by every other one in this congregation. And if there's a little leaven in there, we're all impacted by it. That's the way it works. God set it up that way for a reason. Now, a good way to illustrate this particular law of the work of leaven is to look at what Paul says about something as simple in a church as members criticizing or talking bad about other members. Listen to this. Galatians 5, our text chapter, verses 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen at this. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Because we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, lest a little leaven of criticism creeping into a church, we begin to find it impacting the entire church. A little leaven where somebody is gnawing on somebody else. Pretty soon, there's an eating match to see who can eat who else up. That's what the apostle's talking about to the church of Galatia. Or the churches at Galatia. And that is a good illustration of how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We never know when something we are or we do or we act out in our lives will have such an impact upon our church that it literally consumes the effectiveness of our church. We have to watch for that, brothers and sisters. It's important that we do. As I mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul dealt with the presence of known sin in one of the Lord's churches and uses the same comparison that we have in our text in explaining this impact on the church of the presence of sin in its members. He told the church at Corinth, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he was talking about the fornicator that was having his impact upon the church at Corinth. So a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And it certainly can be true of a church. In Revelation chapter 2, you read, and chapter 3 also, you read about Christ sending a message to seven churches around, and in those messages, He addresses the church at Ephesus, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, and the church at Laodicea in a special way. And that special way is this, that He was talking about those churches having some people in them that had certain things that He hated or that He was against. But when He got down to the final summary in His address to those churches, He gave credit or ascribed to those churches as having that particular characteristic because in its membership, somebody was that way. So the Lord, sometimes, you see, has to say to a church, you've got such and such in your membership, and therefore you're guilty as a church of supporting that particular thing. Why is that? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I said unspiritual things in the makeup of a church will cause this law to kick in and cause the leaven to leaven the whole lump. Let me close with a positive aspect on this law of leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I've so far dealt only with how it negatively affects things. But think about this. Think about the fact that spiritual processes and practices in believers, positive spiritual things, will amplify in both the believers and in their churches. Positive spiritual processes and practices will themselves follow the law of leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You can't begin to predict, I don't think, brothers and sisters, what a positive effect your spiritual behavior and spiritual demeanor can have on other church members around you. You can't begin to predict how it will impact in a positive way what your fellow church members, what your entire church may be able to do. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And what you say and what you do and how you act as a Christian, being positive toward the things of God, doing the right things at the right time, prayerfully toward God and toward the church, you can't predict how it will build the church of the living God. You can't begin to imagine what might happen if you make it your desire and your objective to present positive things in your life and to work positive things in your life. I think a good way to illustrate how this has impact, how you yourself can become a powerful force for God in your church, I think a good illustration of this is to just explain real briefly to you how a hurricane originates. You know, we hear about the hurricane when it's become a tropical storm and it's already got the big swirling motion. We can see the clouds being pulled into this circle and having the eye in the center. But listen, did you know that a hurricane's origin is such that it can start with a little bitty house-size pool of water out in the middle of the tropics that all of a sudden is warmer than the water around it, and the sun is hitting it just right with no obstructions. And this little warmer pool of water starts causing updrafts of the wind. The wind starts going up as the heat rises off of that warmer pool of water. That little warm pool of water out there in the middle of the tropical ocean. And pretty soon, the rising and the heating, it begins to expand and get warmer and bigger and warmer and bigger. And it begins to turn, the winds begin to turn counterclockwise as they swirl around this hot center, this warm center. And pretty soon, it's grown until it's a tropical storm. And the tropical storm continues to grow. And pretty soon, it's a massive hurricane that covers hundreds of miles out there in the ocean. Starts with just a little bitty warm spot, like a warm spot in your heart for doing the righteous work of God, like a warm spot in your love for the saints of God, like a warm commitment to God and Christ in your life, that you're not looking to anybody else. You're looking to you and what you can do as you seek to serve God, as you seek to bless your church, as you seek to do something great for the Lord, the little warm spot begins to grow. Pretty soon it's as big, it's an acre wide. Pretty soon it's a dozen miles wide. And pretty soon it's 100 miles wide. And you've got the entire effect of it growing and growing and doing the great work that it can do. That is the potential for every one of us that are children of God. We can be that hurricane of spiritual power for the Lord if we simply realize that the law of the leaven works in righteousness also. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, let me just say this, that if only you alone get caught by this spirit, get lifted up by this idea, this thought, if only you alone have taken it or take it upon yourself to be the leaven that God will use, it is a very small amount. And it may be so small that you might think that it will have no impact. But I want to tell you something. Every big work for God that was ever done in history started out with one inspired individual who knew that he was called of God to a task. And he started out as a non-entity, with no fame or anything else, with no understanding or no intent to be famous, just to do the work of God. And the work that he started out doing by the power of God grew to a hurricane of spiritual activity for the Lord. And one person has literally produced that which has turned the world upside down. The Lord Jesus Christ came upon the preaching of John the Baptist and begin what is today the powerful force of the work of the kingdom upon earth. Now I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul began on his knees on the road to Damascus as a nobody, just a hypocritical Pharisee. And what he did grew into a world of effects for the church of God. And the same can be for every one of us. Every one of us who desire to serve God, we can get to this with our lives and in our lives. I like to think of small things producing big things. When I think about this fact that the law of leaven works in people's lives who want to do righteous things. The law of leaven works in righteousness. The law of leaven works in positive things. And when I think about small things doing big stuff, I thought of one that really every one of you will identify with. I've watched a dirt dauber. More than once I've watched this. Mud wasp, but we call them dirt daubers around here. Start a project on the wall of my garage. And it first starts out with a little bitty ball of mud, just smaller than my little fingernail, just a little bitty ball of mud. And that dirt dauber works alone. Nobody helps him. He doesn't have a mate helping him. It's a she, and she's working alone. And she begins to apply mud to the wall of that garage. And the little dot of mud becomes a long line of mud. And then pretty soon it becomes a cell of mud. And then pretty soon it becomes another cell of mud. And another cell of mud. And another cell of mud. And finally, you've got at least a hand-sized group of cells there that may be that long. And a hole running up through each one of them. And that dirt dauber just keeps on working. Keeps on working. Keeps on working. Pretty soon, got a nest the size she wants. And then she goes off and starts dragging in spiders. And she'll drag in spider after spider after spider and fill those long cells up. Hundreds of spiders fill the long cells where she's going to lay the eggs that are going to hatch her young ones. And they're going to feed on those spiders in those closed cells. And after season's over, she's got this great big nest built. Little bitty dirt dauber. Small. All of you know how small they are. And they've got sometimes a nest built like that. One little wasp. And did all of that in just one short few weeks period. One ball of mud from the mud hole out there at a time. One spider at a time from out there where they roam. And finally, an entire city for her young eggs. What is that? A little leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. The little wasp, with effort and determination and intent and drive and good hard work, did what you could not imagine she could have done in a few weeks' time. And that's the way it is with us. Just a little positive spiritual influence from you may be the thing that builds an entire church to a powerhouse for the Lord. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I want to close with one admonition about all this. You might say, Brother Myers, this is all real good. It's great if we could do that. It's great if I could do that. Well, that's the first thing that comes to your mind sometimes when you start thinking about doing something notable for the Lord. Becoming that source of leaven that leavens the whole lump. The first thing that may come to your mind is, well, yeah, that's a dream for somebody else. I'm too old, or I'm too dumb, or I'm too little, or I'm too big, or I'm this, or I'm that. I got too much on my mind. I have to work too hard, blah, blah, blah. We all know about those things. So I want to leave you with this admonition from the Lord and take this home with you, because if you don't carry this with you, if you don't keep it in your heart, you'll get off from here today and you say, well, that isn't for me. Let somebody else fight the war. I'm just not up to it, and I don't have the materials. I can't be the kind of leaven that the preacher talked about. Listen here. In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That's the encouragement we need. As we have therefore opportunity, Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you go out from here today and you've got all hype and you said, I'm going to start making every action that I do in relation to my family and my friends and my church a positive thing. I'm going to be the positive lump of leaven that leaven the whole lump. And you go out there and the next thing that happens is you get swatted by the temptations and trials of the devil. You're going to want to faint and say, well, you know, it's good to dream while you're sitting in the pew, but you know, this is reality out here. Let me encourage you one more time. Let us not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Fainting is what lets the harvest be lost. Fainting is what caused your cupboard to be empty in the winter where you didn't gather your wheat. But if we faint not in due season, we shall reap. So let us be strong. Let us make up our minds that we're going to be the positive leaven that leavens this church. That makes it the positive force for God that it can be. And let's not faint backward on that. Let's not give up on that. Let's not go out of here and say, I can't do it. That was a good dream, but reality is reality, and so on and so on. Keep your commitment. Don't weary, and the Lord will bless.